Log Talk Radio.
Hey, we were all caught up and choppy there. Good evening. Purposely. Good evening and welcome to Erie House Radio. Your wishes have come true once again. Because it's me. Dale K from Spook Show here along with
Dave Binkley from Weird, This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And wow, sitting in here for at least the first part, we have
the maker of fine Goulet everywhere. It is I, Gar the Ghoul. Blay, blay, see you all.
Hey.
Now I forgot how to make Goulet.
A wish has already been expressed. GGSI Paper is making pizza. So they probably won't provide
pizza.
A keyboard, but they're asking me to watch what I say.
They're making pizza.
Yes. So there may be children listening or something.
Well, you'll be, hey, wait a minute. I know you better than that.
Yep.
We know that.
Actually, we're usually pretty careful on the air here. But,
we are, mostly.
Sometimes
when he's privately, that guy cusses like a sailor.
That's right.
Wait, wait.
And you know, because you were a sailor.
That's right.
One of your many jobs.
That's the way I can understand him.
One of your many positions you have filled over the years.
Hello.
He's been a pirate, a pauper, a puppet, a pollock, and a king.
Yeah.
I don't know. And a king.
A pawn and a king, yep.
Yeah, a pawn and a king.
Yep,
there you
go.
Oh,
there you go. Good old, using good old chess terms there. Yes, pawn and a king.
Yes, pawn and king.
A puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. There you go.
Yes.
And because I can't keep a job, I was also a sailor.
But not a physicist.
But after all those things, you know, Dale, that's life, you know. That's life.
That's
what people say. That's what people say, yeah.
Especially
actually,
people
it's
from,
funny you brought that up, because I have this, once I get my back straightened out, I can't do some of the things I want to do for it. But actually, I wanted to make
like,
a little weirdness
like
music video. No. Some fall down pickup type stuff that I can't do at the moment.
A plant fall?
For a video version of a weirdness video version of That's Life.
You need a stunt man.
Yes, I need a stunt double, but I can't find one exactly built like me.
That would be Dave's wish. If
I take it back. I did find one, but he had a bad back too. So you know, I didn't work.
I'm applying for the job of stunt man, but I can only do certain stuff, you know.
Like blowing out birthday cake and things like that. Yeah.
I might be able to walk across the street.
I don't know. Blowing out a birthday cake can be dangerous, like in a Warner Brothers cartoon or a Stooges cartoon.
Or when you get to be our age, it can be dangerous too.
Yeah.
So
you could lose a lung.
Got to keep the fire department on speed dial when we do that.
That's right.
Yes.
I don't know, officer. All I did was light the candles. It went up like a firecracker.
Well, we do have to get
radio.
We have to get
work.
To work.
What an unpleasant word.
That's really what we do.
Oh boy. The pain.
For those of you who tuned into us live last night, you ought to call in and check out our what we did afterwards. I think it was I think Gar hit double coffee mode, and we were all over the place. So you know, were we not, Dale? Were we not, Dale?
Oh goodness! Oh my! It was madness.
I really just thought Dave was going to say, for those of you that tuned in live, we apologize.
We laughed, we cried, we had a great time. One of us cried.
Nobody got sued. It was a good day. You know.
It was much weeping.
There was much weeping. Sure.
But we had a lot of fun, and you may want to check that out, because it was just one of those crazy nights that after a 2-hour podcast, then we ran, I think it ran for almost another 80 minutes until we were almost out of time anyway, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But
yep.
It was we were just jabbering and garbage, just guzzling coffee, man.
The old coffee IV. Yeah, that was.
I was frightened.
Were you now?
Yes.
I was
frightening
and frightened Dale. Well, you know, it's going to be a good night.
Yes.
Dale was.
Speaking of a good night.
Got a whole lot of radio.
We got a great radio show tonight from the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
And Robert Louis Stevenson, maybe.
Right. It is. It's an adaption of Louis Stevenson's. It's the same story. I think it's done a little bit better here than The Witch's Tale did. But, of course, the master, High Brown, leading this brigade here. And and they have a little bit more time to play with it than they did. I didn't realize that either story was really from Robert Louis. When I think of Robert Louis Stevenson, you know what I think of? I think of Kidnapped.
Alice in Wonderland.
I think of Kidnapped, and I think of...
Winnie the Pooh.
What was that? What was that? The Captain.
Sly.
What was that? The Treasure Island. Okay, I think
Treasure
of Adventure.
Island.
I think of Adventure when I think of Robert Louis Stevenson.
I think more
really,
of his horror aspect, Dave. I like you've got Jekyll and Hyde. You've got.
I thought that was an outlier. The Jekyll and Hyde I thought was an outlier, but as I looked through it, really wasn't. There was so much more that he did, both in novels and short stories. I mean, just looking at the short story, When the Devil Was Well. I'm thinking here. Just keep looking here, and he did different times. The Body Snatcher, Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, The Bottle Imp, which is what we got here tonight. The Isle of Voices. So, you know.
I have a good collection of Stevenson's stories, and I'm drawn more to the horror. I do love the adventure. I do love Treasure Island. I do love those, but the horror always has a special place in my heart.
Not being a reader because of my dyslexia, I just assumed that most of his stuff was adventure. And now I'm finding out it isn't. So I'm starting to really enjoy the writings of Robert Louis Stevenson, thanks to old radio drama.
Yep. Now, tonight's story was written in 1891, usually found in a short story collection called Island Nights Entertainment. It was first published in the New York Herald somewhere between February and March of 1891, and also Black and White magazine in London 1 month later. Now, in it...
Herald's
not
here!
Yes. In it, the protagonist buys a bottle with an imp inside that grants him wishes. However, let's listen to CBS Radio Mystery Theater's version called The Imp in the Bottle. And it's from...
September 3rd, 1974.
I
agree.
Taking a look at sports, Major League Baseball today, in the National League, first of all, Cincinnati beat Houston 7-5 at the end of five innings. San Francisco leads Los Angeles 8-4. Atlanta over San Diego 7-2. Pittsburgh down Philadelphia 8-2. St. Louis defeated Montreal twice, 5-1 and 8-4, and New York over Chicago, 2-0 and 11-4.
I should have bet on these games.
In the American League, it was Cleveland 5, Detroit 1, then Detroit 5, Cleveland 4. Chicago beat Kansas City 2-1, and Texas defeated Minnesota 6-3. CBS Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. The time now is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Hello,
Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Jasper Sheridan is dying. Even the most ignorant of laymen could determine that fact. The wax-like face, the emaciated body, the rasping breath that precedes the last death rattle. In the huge baronial bedroom, he faces his only living relative, Barry Holden, a great-grandnephew. A fortunate young man who is the only heir to one of the richest, if not the richest men in the world. Fortunate? Listen.
Barry, are we alone?
Yes, Uncle.
Open the drawer in my bed table. You see the small bottle in it?
Yes, sir. You mean the one with the ugly little black bug in it?
If you will buy that from me for less than $10, you can be the richest man in the world.
Oh, Uncle, you know me. I'm always broke. I can raise, $7.43. Will that be enough?
More than enough. Will you buy it from me?
If you want me to, of course.
Our mystery drama, The Imp in the Bottle, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars William Redfield. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the Brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then open a can or a bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why, when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Is over 90 and you are 24 with your life just beginning, why not humor a dying man's request? But you didn't expect a minor gesture could cause that piercing, shattering, evil scream that shriveled your tolerance to a shivering fear.
What in God's name was that?
Nothing. God's name. It came from that damnable black imp immured in the prison. He thought he might escape at last.
From this thing in the bottle? That's crazy. It's no bigger than a large fly.
As long as he stays in the bottle. Oh, Barry, I have no right. If I were not so afraid...
No, look, wait. Let me go and get Dr. Haney.
No, this is just between us and I have very little time. So let me speak.
Uncle, please.
Don't interrupt. You had every expectation to be my only heir, and you are so indicated in my will. But do you know what my estate will be if I should pass on still owning that black minion of the Antichrist? Nil, nothing, zero.
Look, Uncle, I don't think this is the right time to worry about estate.
This is exactly the right time. First, if I die still in possession of that imp of darkness, everything I have, an amp, the house, the corporation, the wealth, even... I, myself, become his possession. Oh, poor Barry, you think you're listening to an old man's ravings.
Okay, so we're back to that dirty black spider or whatever it is in the bottle. I'll buy him. That's simple. Now, does that solve it?
Not by a long shot. First, you have to know the terms.
Okay, brief me.
When I was your age, I was in Venice, and I bought that bottle with the black thing in it for not much more than $10. I was always a sucker for legends of any kind. The lure of the bottle imp, was it legend? If you could find the right person, whoever you were, you would command anything in the world you desired, gold or money, at the snap of your fingers.
That's what that dirty little thing there is?
Oh, I laughed at the notion of its power, except that it does possess it. And once you know that, the whole contract gains its own belief.
And what is the whole contract?
That while a person owns this dark imp in the bottle, any request that concerns money, gold, or wealth, no matter how unreasonable, will be satisfied. And that to dispose of this creature and its spell, you must sell it for less than your original price.
Oh, here. $7.40.
$5 is enough.
Okay. Cheap at nearly half the price.
Oh, think first, Barry, think. Remember, it will keep you rich as long as you live. But remember, too, if you do not sell it for less than you paid for it before you die, your soul will surely rot in hell for eternity.
Cheer up, Uncle. You've made your sale. Your imp in the bottle is my problem from now on. I'd no sooner made that statement than I felt a burning sensation in my pocket. It was sheer reflex action to reach in and pull out the bottle containing the evil black bug. I glanced at my uncle. He had sunk back against the silk pillow cover, his face the corpse white of the dead, but its expression one of peace and relief. You'd better go in, Dr. Haney. I'm afraid he's gone.
Yeah, very well, Barry. It was inevitable, you know.
Oh, I know, but I'm going to miss him a lot.
That makes two of us. I'll let you know in just a minute.
Thank you.
I hope I'm not premature, but I'm sorry.
Thanks, Mr. Barnes.
You're going to miss the old man in a lot more ways than one, son.
Hmm? What does that mean?
You know, I haven't been able to talk any real business with him almost the whole past week, and...
Well, what's the scoop, Mr. Lawyer?
Disaster. The whole empire is going to topple.
Sheridan Enterprises?
Jasper is mortgaged up to the eye teeth, overextended. He's so deep in debt that if things went under, he couldn't even pay his creditors a penny on the dollar.
You're trying to tell me that Jasper is broke?
Unless he's got piles of money stashed away in Switzerland, Lebanon, the Bahamas, or some secret corner of the world. The only thing he'll leave you is debts. The pity of it is, if he were alive, he'd find a way out of all this mess. He's done it time and again. The man was a financial genius.
He's gone, all right. Poor old Jasper. But he looks at peace. He certainly looked like he left you well provided for, Barry, if that's any consolation.
Well provided for, perhaps. A consolation? That remains to be seen. Lawyer Barnes insisted that I dine with him that night to discuss business, he said, and for a rather special reason, might lighten the dismal occasion. I accepted, for reasons of my own, which were blown right out of my head the moment I met his special reason.
Oh, there you are, Barry. Just in time for a mint julep in honor of my guest.
Oh?
I'd like you to meet the daughter of an old friend of mine in the Deep South, Miss Felicia Alice Breedenhall.
Oh, My pleasure, Miss Breedenhall.
Let me begin with my whole usual little speech.
Oh, is it a stem winder or just short and sweet?
Now you're putting me on. All I wanted to say was that no one my size should be saddled with a name as long as Felicia Alice Breedenhall. And since the diminutive for both my first names happens to be Alicia, can we settle for that?
By all means. My name happens to be, for example, Barry Norton Stewart Farrington Creecraft Ain, with a hyphen between the last two. But you may call me just plain Barry, Alicia.
I'm really sorry. We shouldn't be joking under the circumstances.
Oh, it's all right, it's all right. Jasper would have gotten a kick out of you. He lived his life and didn't miss a thing. How many years, Mr. Barnes?
Pretty close to 97.
Yeah, and he'd had it, too. He wanted to go. No, don't worry, Alicia. He picked the right moment.
Here's your julep. Good stiff one.
Yeah.
I imagine you can use it, Barry, after a little talk before noon. You and I are going to have to get together tonight, you know.
You know it. That's just what the man ordered.
Oh, I didn't think you'd be so eager for our talk.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about our talk. I was talking about the drink and the lady who comes along with it. Alicia, even after just one long, cool swallow, I apologize about the name nonsense. My name is plain old Barry Norton, NMI, as we used to say in the armed services.
NMI?
No middle initial.
Barry's good enough for me anyway.
You going to be staying up north long?
Oh, that depends.
Oh, that's the dinner bell. We keep Mrs. Grimes waiting one moment, I might lose her. I have no intention of doing so.
Preoccupied ever since we left after dinner.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Alicia. I am. Got a lot on my mind. How long is your stay up here going to be?
A long, long time, I hope.
Ah, now that's just the same thought I had in mind for you.
But it may not be too long if I don't get a job before my money runs out.
You mean that's the only problem?
Oh, you can joke. You don't know what it is to be poor.
Oh, you want to bet? You know what my entire capital is as of this moment? $2.43.
Plus $2,043,000,000,000 little old greenbacks your great uncle left you.
Supposing I was to tell you Jasper left nothing. Not a cent. Just a collection of monumental debts.
I wouldn't believe you for a moment.
Well, let me put this whole proposition on another basis. Supposing I didn't have a dime. Would you marry me tomorrow, this minute, if I really didn't have a dime? And no particular prospects, and I asked you.
You haven't even found out if I even like you.
No. This is no holds barred time, Alicia. I think you do at least like me. Enough to think about marrying me?
They warned me life went a little faster up north. Okay, I'll fade you, Mr. Gambling Man. I do like you. But I've had too many years growing up just one knitted jump above poor white, so the answer to your question is if you didn't have a dime and no particular prospects, I'd pick up my bell bottoms and run like hell in case you lassoed me with black magic charms.
All right. Give me 24 hours to find out where I stand. Then I'll know just where we stand. Mr. Barnes, I won't be back tonight.
But you promised. I have to go over this whole business situation with you, and just because of Leisha, you can't...
No, I know. I won't say this has nothing to do with Leisha, but by later tonight, I may be able to give you some better news and relieve your mind about financial affairs. I'm holding what gamblers call an ace in the hole. Now keep your lawyer's fingers crossed that it pays off. What I was holding in my hand was the imp in the bottle. And with my own fingers crossed, I took it back to Uncle Jasper's house. With shaking fingers, I twisted the cap of the little bottle. And suddenly it came off with an explosive whoosh that rocked me on my heels and turned my blood to rainwater. Out of the narrow opening, a great foaming black cloud burst like an atomic bomb. The room reeked of fire and brimstone. And the whole house rocked and shook and seemed to disintegrate.
are things seemingly beyond our ken that brush against us every day. Eventually, there is an explanation, simple or complicated. An explanation that suits the limit of our world. But is there another explanation that suits another world? Something so dark and mysterious and mind-boggling that we refuse to accept it? On behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
And the Rehouse Radio.
Remember, well, only you can create forest fires.
That's true.
I was always a big fan of the Smokey the Bear campaign.
Yeah. I like the bear.
One that I enjoyed most was the bears show up in the front yard of somebody and start ripping their fence apart and
start ripping
the
fence apart, yeah.
Yeah.
As people are watching from their house windows, yo.
Yeah, like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And do they put out the fire? No, they don't.
Yeah.
Those inconsiderate bears.
I know. That was so funny. But the problem was, okay, the bears in that particular advert reminded me of the Andy Williams cookie bear.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It does.
And so I wasn't really taken with the Smokey thing on that as much as, hey, wait, that's the cookie bear, you know.
Oh, gosh, I haven't thought of the cookie bear in probably 40-some years.
I actually have the cookie bear dialed up on HH tonight.
Oh, good heavens.
Yeah. He showed up wearing a cardigan.
Yep. That'll be right after we're done here.
Yep. Yes. Definitely worth a tune in to see Cookie Bear, if nothing else.
Yes. If I don't drop dead of a heart attack, yes, we will.
You should have found a way to weave in.
A heart attack right now?
You should have found a way to weave in the Cookie Bear with Huggy Bear.
No. I would refuse. No. That guy's got Goldfish in his heels. What's going on?
Well, yeah, how do you feed
them, there, man?
How do you feed them fish, man? How do you feed them fish?
I don't think he was worried about it.
Just get new boots, man.
Yeah, you get new boots about every 2 days because they suffocate in your heels. Hey, man, you got some dead fish up in your heels, there, buddy.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we got a live show here. The Imp in the Bottle.
Yeah.
Now, you heard last night's story. I really enjoy this adaption. This is one of the ones that we had recorded, and we got to play over and over and over again. You know, it was just one of those great tellings, great storytelling, period. From one of the masters of storytelling.
Yep, and that's what old-time radio is really all about, superb storytelling.
I like the weather reports out of Seattle, that's fun, too.
Yeah, there's always that. Let's get to
the
Seattle.
I love
the time capsules they have with these, because that's what they are. They're main time capsules.
They are.
So let's go head back to 1974 with CBS Radio Mystery Theater's adaptation of The Imp in the Bottle.
A young man in this day and age who, instead of inheriting a fabulous fortune, finds himself humoring his dying relative by buying from him a small medical file containing an unidentified black form, supposedly capable of producing unlimited wealth. Is something like this possible in the 20th century? We're about to find out.
Choking through the black fumes as a swirling wind began to dissipate them, the room seemed to have disappeared entirely. I was mainly conscious of the colossal legs, the muscles braced under the thick bristling hair. And as my eye traveled upwards, the monstrous hirsute body, leathern-skinned and humpbacked. The head was small and ridiculous for the gargantuan body, and the voice matched it.
Yes, Master. What is your desire?
Are you the black thing that was imprisoned in that bottle there?
I am the bottle imp, doomed by Lucifer to be confined until I bring him a soul.
But you mean I can actually request anything of you and you will satisfy it?
As long as it is gold or what money will buy, all you have to do is ask, and it is yours. You see, my only way to freedom is to trap your soul or some other. I have no choice. You are the only one who has any free choice.
What choice?
Sell me for less than you paid for me, and you go free.
And whatever money you've given me or helped me to gain?
You cannot have it both ways, Master. That disappears with me.
And must I free you from the bottle every time I have a request?
No. I have no right to freedom of any kind until I deliver a soul.
Well, then. Get back in the bottle. The great black presence was sucked inexorably like a pile of dust back into the bottle. And in the blink of an eye, I was back in my own room. And trapped in the bottle was the dark, shapeless mass of the devil's apprentice. The die was cast as far as I was concerned. Of course, I knew I should see my local psychiatrist, but just in case black magic hasn't gone clear out of style. Abracadabra, right on the bed, $250,000 in hundreds and fifties, like pow! A quarter of a million? As though I had asked for another hot dog. Oh, man, I don't know what I'm getting into. But it sure solves a lot of problems.
Strange. I thought he had everything filed with me. When I saw how serious the situation was, I tried to talk the situation over with Jasper, but he refused to discuss the whole subject. I can't understand
why. Well, perhaps he was waiting for a messenger.
What messenger?
The one that gave me the envelope.
I can't understand why this didn't come to me. After all, I am his lawyer.
And I'm his heir.
That's true, of course.
And I was in the house. Well, what's the difference anyway? This solves all our problems, doesn't it? Financially, I mean.
Oh, absolutely. Huge deposits in top banks all over the world. More than enough capital to put the conglomerate in the best shape of its life. My congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Barnes. But it's still only money.
Which you are very careless about, if you will forgive an old man for putting in his oar.
Oh, Barnes, I'm not only happy to have you put in your oar, but you're going to be running the whole ship from now on.
Why aren't you going to be taking over the business?
Oh, no. Not me.
Then what are you going to do?
I'm going to get married. If the lady will have me.
But then you'll have to have a job.
No. I have no head for figures, except the right kind. Which reminds me, may I call the lady?
If you think she won't object to... Why hasn't it? It's almost one.
Well, she may start off mad, but I have a feeling she'll end up forgiving me.
Do I know this young lady?
Well, you ought to. You introduced me to her tonight.
Leisha? Mary, how can you talk about marrying a girl you don't even know?
Hello?
Leisha?
Who is this? You know, I was sound asleep.
It's Barry.
Barry? What are you doing? You know it's nearly 1 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I just wanted to tell you that I'm all through with dull old business and the whole world is now our oyster, and even if you won't marry me tonight, how about that date we almost missed?
At 10 minutes to 1 a.m.?
Well, that's when the big city really comes alive. Look, I'll pick you up in 45 minutes. It'll be a night to remember.
At the moment, it's a night I want to forget.
Well, you'll never really be able to tell that, will you, unless you give it a try? Huh? Leisha?
You nut, Barry. You absolute nut. Make it 50 minutes. It'll give me time to put some perfume behind my ears.
Bye.
When I invited you to dinner earlier this evening, Barry, it had nothing to do with Leisha. She turned up unexpectedly. As a matter of fact, had I been playing marriage broker, you would have been the last person in some ways to...
Oh, Barnes, relax. The greatest thing you ever did for me in your life was to introduce me to Leisha. Take you back home?
That's good, solid New Orleans blues, man.
Mm-hmm. And the martini?
It won't knock me out. But I don't know about another round.
Uh-huh. What's your stand on walking?
Great. As long as I can stand. And I can stand. Don't worry.
Good. Up Fifth Avenue to the Plaza Hotel. Got a penny?
No, sir. My mad money comes in slightly higher denominations.
Oh, you didn't think I'd run out on you?
It hasn't happened yet. I just protect myself at all times.
Okay, here's a penny. And I have one, too. So we turn our backs on the fountain, throw them in, and wish the best wish we know.
Oh, that's the Trevi Fountain in Rome, you do that.
All right, all right. So we're starting a new trend. Arrivederci, Roma. What was your wish?
If I tell you, it won't come true. Where next? The night is still young.
The Small Hours Club?
What's its particular kick?
Oh, just the best food in town, nice, slow, quiet dancing, and a wide-open casino from craps to chimay.
Oh, just stop at the dice. They're mama's children. You stake me $100, I'll run it right through their limits.
Oh, baby, I seem to have just pushed the important button that turns you on. Come on, let's see you roll them.
The point is eight. Eight is the point. The lady is riding 15,000, 15,000 a cover. I have three from you, sir, two from the gentleman next to him. Are there no more takers? Oh, yes, sir. Fading 5,000. Thank you, sir. That leaves 5,000 open. And if there is no one else to cover, ah, yes, I have a taker. You cover the open five. You are faded, madam. Your dice, the point is eight.
Oh, come on, baby. We can't run in any more bad luck. This is our time. Come through for mama. Come on, away you go.
Seven. You lose.
Oh, well, it was my own fault. The whole thing was my own fault from the beginning. See, my whole trouble is that I really don't give a damn about money. I mean, if I've got it, great. But if I don't, I'll get by. So the trouble is, I never recognize the fever in others. I certainly didn't in Leisha anyway. The 15,000 was play money to me, the way I was fixed with my own personal little devil in the bottle. But I should have spotted Leisha as a lady who was hooked on gambling and the money that went with it. Here we were just beginning, and I didn't know it, but we were already on the way to the end.
You are crazy, you know.
But you, yes.
I'm not talking about that. You let me gamble away $15,000 and then take me on a 5-cent ferry ride.
Well, the last of the big spenders, they call me. Oh, baby, just look at that sun coming up over the skyline. Isn't that worth 15 lousy grand? I'm going to take off my tie and open up my shirt and enjoy the sun on my manly chest.
You could have gotten the sun just for a nickel.
Ah, but I might not have been able to persuade you to make the trip.
I swear to Jonah, you are something else. What's that chain you have around your neck?
Oh, it's kind of a Lucky charm.
May I see?
Sure. Here.
What? Just a little old bottle like you get a prescription in.
Mm-hmm.
What's that black thing? Oh, Barry, I am sorry. I thought it was a spider, and I'm just scared to death of them. And before I knew
You chucked it overboard.
It was an accident.
Never mind. It's gone forever now.
Does it mean all that to you, Barry?
We're getting near the landing. Let me ask you a question right out here in the morning sunshine in front of God and everyone. Are you going to marry me?
It's like everything else tonight. Crazy. But, Barry, I just guess I'm going to have to. I mean... Barry.
What is it?
The bottle. The chain. And that thing, it's right back around your neck again. How did you do that?
I didn't. I guess there is only one way to get rid of this.
There's something funny going on. Barry, you kind of scare me. Now, I don't know...
Wait a minute. As soon as we land, come back up to the house with me.
Oh, no, sir. I've already spent the night with you. That's as far as we go this time around.
Oh, Leisha, it's not your lily-white body I'm after. Not tonight, anyway. It's just a secret I want to share with you. A secret I guess I've got to share with you before we do get married.
Will you stop pulling my leg and take me home before I fall asleep?
No, I want to prove this to you, Leisha. All right. All right, you little bottle imp. In $1,000 bills, give back Miss Breedenhall the money she lost tonight. There. Look in your bag, Leisha.
Genuine?
They are.
It's a trick.
Not mine. His. As much as I want, anytime, anywhere. Just as I told you.
No. I just can't believe
it. Oh, well, I know a way to really prove it to you, Miss Dice Sharper. Now, here's a pair of dice, okay? Roll them as long as you want till you're sure there's nothing kinky about them. Then tell me what number you want to throw and how many times. And the bottle imp will see that it happens.
Okay. You can't fool me on this. I know dice, and I know odds. Once I'm satisfied these dice are clean, I'm picking snake eyes. You bring me those up 10 times in succession, and I'll believe anything you tell me.
Why be pikers? Let's make it 20.
Double ace. 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all true.
That's right. Now do you marry me?
I wouldn't want you to think I was marrying you for your money.
Let me take the chance on that.
Beware, Barry. Games of chance are not your forte. And you don't know the odds. You're a good-hearted, happy-go-lucky guy who's gotten himself mixed up in something evil. A lot more than he can handle. And perhaps not all the evil is shut up inside the bottle.
Stanley Myron Handelman.
You know what question really bugged me when I was a kid? What do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, how was I supposed to know? I was just a kid. I wanted to play ball with my friends, Weasel, Scoot, and Crazy Legs Beck. Besides, what was so terrible about someday being a 58-year-old stickball player? Actually, back then, we didn't have much choice. Either you were going on to a 4-year college or you were going nowhere. But today, it's different. Today, you can have a great career with only a year or two of technical education and yet make as much as somebody who puts in 4 years at college. Their careers as technicians in fields like engineering, health service, chemistry, environmental control, even nuclear research. For the facts, send for a free booklet called 25 Technical Careers in 2 Years or Less. Write careers Washington, D.C., 20202.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
And Erie House Radio. Yes,
that's right. I can be a nuclear physicist in only 2 years with a specialty class. So, you know.
As you should. Yep. they have a training school for it.
One thing I never need to fear is some gal trying to marry me for my money. That's not going to happen.
Same here.
There you go. You know,
Gar, I call that having a protective layer of poverty.
Yeah.
No, it keeps you from being audited. It keeps you from being bilked. Yes. It's wonderful.
Again, going back in time, Dean Martin's named his dancers the Dean's Gold Diggers or something.
Yes, the Gold Diggers.
Yes.
And it was hilarious because it was kind of true.
Yes.
I'm funny you brought that up because I was just watching some Dean Martin today. There were like 20 funny of Dean's funniest duets. He did this one with Bobby Goldsboro. It reminded me how great variety shows were because the writers would write songs just for the special guests, that kind of a thing.
Yes.
And so that's something you don't get happening today. You know, if you have any kind of talk show where somebody comes out, they go out and sing a song they've already done or whatever, where variety shows, the Red Skelton Show or whatever, they'd have songs that were written just for the special guest being there.
Yes. As evidenced with those great episodes with Karloff and others that visited with Red.
Yeah, Karloff and Price, and yeah.
Yep.
So,
and
you
they
know,
had great
just,
musical
numbers
in those, great musical numbers.
It is a lost art, the old variety shows, and I don't think we'll ever see them again because the closest thing they have to that are talent shows, and it's just not the same thing.
No.
Yeah.
No, yeah, the difference, they would actually, well, most of the contemporary actors that we appreciate are mostly not with us, or if they are, they're not acting. But they would have to get some of the premier talent that's established and go, okay, we're going to do a variety show. You come on and you interact with other people that are, you know, doing well, and that's not happening. Everyone's more doing their own thing.
Yep.
I tell you what, nobody but Dean Martin could get John Wayne to do a duet with him.
In a bunny suit.
Yeah.
Don't forget the bunny suit.
I try to forget the bunny suit. I don't like to think of John Wayne in bunny suits. Just, no.
Yeah.
Not a good combo for me.
I have a poster in my garage of John Wayne in a bunny suit.
Once again, I know fear on this show. Just thinking about fear. That.
The fact that there was a poster, or the fact that I have it.
That's there's where the fear starts to.
Yes.
Creep up and down my spine.
Don't be jealous. It's okay.
I am a little. I am a little. I'll admit it's you know.
You have a robot. Calm down. You're okay. John Wayne in a bunny suit poster. Oh no!
I you know, listening to the story, I want to know what kinky dice are. You know, she said she could tell if the she said she could tell if the dice were kinky. I said, well, what's a kinky dice? I mean, I'm not
screwy. You're odd.
I'm not a gambler. I'm not a gambler, so I need to be explaining these.
No, that's no. Just nothing awry with them.
Why are we not letting me? Why are we not letting me answer this question?
Yeah. Yeah. Now you get none.
As if I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
Hey, let's
kinky.
Wrap up.
Okay, think of it like this: kinky means crooked. Crooked means awry in crime terms. So there you go.
Okay.
Oh, really? That's not the. Yeah, I think the definition I know of kinky, but okay.
No,
if that's what you say, I will.
Crooked dice.
Okay.
Yeah, it was crooked dice.
Okay.
There wasn't anything, roll a 7 and
you get a bikini model. No, it's nothing like that.
I want in on that game.
Ooh, I want to roll with seven.
You can bet on anything today. Yes, you can.
You can bet a white if you get a seven. Yeah, okay, sure, okay.
Hey.
Hey. Oh.
Good time.
Parma. What?
Parma.
Parma.
Parma?
You keep sneaking up on me. Yee-hee! Yip, yip, yip,
yip, yip, yippee!
So, yeah,
I am so far away from Parma, but I love the joke.
Yep. That's odd. For someone from Florida to get that is truly impressive and indicative of the impact that Mr. Goulardi had on all of us.
Yep.
Yep.
I agree.
Yep, absolutely.
Let's wrap up this CBS Radio Mystery Theater adaptation of Robert Louis Stevenson's story, The Imp in the Bottle, from his story, The Bottle.
Time for some extra funds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, we will.
Yay.
Let's wrap it up. We'll be back.
Jasper Sheridan's funeral was sumptuous and dignified. In as brief a period as seemed decent, Leisha and Barry were married and started on a worldwide honeymoon that lasted well over 2 years. If Barry regretted the fact that all of the places had gambling casinos, he was too much in love with his stunning bride to object. Then, at last, they were on their way back to America by boat, on Leisha's insistence.
Well, I see you broke the bank again for the second night out.
Well, I'm not always so lucky, Mr. Stavrasis.
Oh, you know my name. I was going to introduce myself. I'm flattered, Mrs. Norton.
Of course you're not. No more than I am, but you know mine.
We are birds of a feather, eh, you and I?
We have more money than we know what to do with. We gamble. We are both members of the international set. The only difference is you own ships, and I own a rich husband.
But there is another difference.
Oh?
At least one. You are a woman. I am a man. I am surprised your husband doesn't make sure to keep you close to him. But particularly on shipboard, moonlight nights.
Oh, Barry doesn't sail well. He usually sticks to his cabin unless it's clear as glass.
Then I shall hope for a rough crossing.
Am I to consider that a pass?
But most definitely.
I am a married woman, Mr. Stavrasis.
Marriage is a state of mind, Mrs. Norton. It is no longer the prison it once was. May I hope to see you in New York? Perhaps you would come to dinner at my house.
With my husband.
Or without. That can all be arranged later. Here. Here is my unlisted number, if you should ever need me. And of course, I am of your service for the rest of the voyage.
Barry.
I remember when you used to say that a little more fondly.
Your being crazy made some sense then.
Oh, and now it makes none?
To go out and take some 9-to-5 job in a dirty little store as a numismatist, whatever it is.
Numismatist, a collector or seller of old and rare coins. Funny, isn't it? It's the only real interest I've ever had in money.
Well, you won't make much of it there.
Oh, I don't know. With the deal Charlie's offered me, I could do quite well. From 20 to 30,000 a year, it's quite a hot business these days.
You must be mad. Go work at the conglomerate if you have to work. You can pay yourself $500,000 a year. Anyway, what's money to us?
That's our problem, Leisha. Everything at the moment. I'm just waking up to how gambling has you hooked. And how you have me hooked into being a sort of gigolo. And the source of the hook is this damn thing. So the way to get off the hook is simple. I'm going to sell him.
Sell the bottle, Imp? But that means that everything would be gone.
Except what I make. We just have to learn to get along on it.
But why? Why?
Because, honey, it's all wrong. And more I'm becoming aware of my immortal soul and how much it means to me.
Sell me the bottle.
Aren't you concerned with your immortal soul?
Oh, Barry, you know I don't believe in that rubbish about after death. Anyway, I could always sell it to someone else.
Only you wouldn't have the nerve. Oh, no. Oh, no, Leisha, you are the last person I'd ever sell the imp in the bottle to.
Yes?
Val, it's Leisha.
What a wonderful surprise.
It may surprise you even more. Would you like to invite me to dinner?
You and...
I said me.
Consider me surprised even more. Just name the night and where you would like to go.
Where? Your house. When? As soon as possible.
More brandy?
No, thanks.
I think in view of all you have just told me, Leisha, I will. I want you... No matter what your use. And I can make you happy physically. I have more money than I need, although never more than I want. I will be happy to make a pre-marriage settlement with you. The one thing is the fly in the ointment, the imp in the bottle.
But that's just a plaything for me. A luck charm. Whether you believe in it or not, and you can get it for less than $5.
Why should he sell it to me, a stranger? Why not to you?
Because he believes whoever buys it sells his soul to the devil.
I don't want to talk about that nonsense anymore. What I will discuss is our marriage settlement, your divorce, and your promise to me of faithfulness and a child. If that is agreed, then I promise you I will buy your whatever it is in the bottle tomorrow. Or the first feasible day. Agreed?
Agreed.
I knew nothing of this conversation, naturally, since Leisha shared little with me these days. Besides, in the first months working with Charlie, I was so fascinated, captivated, drenched in the business of old coins, that I had little else on my mind. It never even occurred to me that Leisha's request for a quick divorce, and my granting it, even though I still loved her, had anything to do with a man I vaguely remembered from our transatlantic crossing and newspaper headlines in general.
And I really must apologize for my long cross-examination, but my hobby, I must admit, is ceremonial magic, the Kabbalah. The grimoire of a room. I suppose you might say all forms of black magic.
I see.
I envy you your amulet. I don't suppose you would consider selling it.
Oh, wait a minute. If I thought you knew and understood its history.
But believe me, I do.
Uh-huh. Then perhaps you're the one.
Name your price.
What do you tip the beach boy here?
$0.50, $0.75.
You have it in your swim shorts?
Yes.
Then as long as you know what you're getting into, you have a deal. I'll take 50 cents, and the bottle imp is yours. So I thought foolishly that was the end of it. Of the thing in the bottle, at least. Well placed with a man whose beliefs or leanings served him right for whatever happened to him afterwards. Even after our divorce, and Leisha remarried Valentine Stavrasis, I was able to put it out of my mind. He owned the devil's curse, not she. And with all his great self-earned wealth, she should be happy. And then 7 years later, fate took us all in hand again. It was hard not to know of Valentine's massive and probably fatal attack. It was headlines in all the papers.
Nurse,
Would you leave us alone, please? Sal?
Huh?
Sal, can you hear me?
What? What?
It's Leisha. Leisha.
Leisha. Thank God. Leisha. Find someone. Find someone.
Find someone for what?
I can feel it. I'm going to die. But not with the black imp waiting for me in the bottle. I'm afraid. Got to sell. Got to save me.
It's all right, Sal. I'll buy it. And promise you to get rid of it. I don't need it anymore. How much... What did you pay for it? Sal.
50 cents.
Just let me look in my bag. I'll open it and give you less. Whatever change I have. Oh.
Hurry. Hurry before it's too late.
Oh, God, I haven't any change. There's no change. I gave it to the taxi man.
Please. Please.
Oh.
Help me. I can feel the hot, stinking breath. His wings folding about me. Don't let me die. Die forever in torment.
Oh, thank God. A little miracle. Here, Val, stuck in the corner of my purse, a penny, a cent, all I have.
Oh, no. Now you can wear him about your neck. I'm safe. I'm safe. I can die in peace.
As Val died, his lungs unable to sustain their pressure even underneath the oxygen tent, Leisha, without thought, lit a cigarette. It was a week before I could see her in the hospital. And even under sedation and in wet bandages, she was in the agonies of hell. She blurted out the story of the bottle imp and thought she was already in hell and dead. Thank God there was something I could do for her. Leisha. Leisha, it's Barry.
No, I'm dead. In hell, a curse came true.
No, not yet, honey. Not yet. You're still alive. You can still sell him.
It's too late. I bought him at the bottom. 1 cent. I'm stuck.
No, don't you believe it. Lucky you happen to know an old, loving numismatist. All right, you don't like the word, coin collector. Lots of coins in the world worth less than a cent. A lira, the Cambodian sen, the Japanese yen. Oh, I could go on forever.
I can't, Barry. Not after all this agony. I couldn't wish it on anyone. It sounds like him.
You can and you will.
Oh.
To me. For a lira I just happen to have with me.
No. I've made you suffer enough.
It's all over. Don't worry. In my business, I can find a coin cheap enough to pass the imp in the bottle on to someone who really deserves it.
Oh.
And I'll fix it so he can't get rid of it.
Barry. Barry, what? Couldn't I love you enough?
Sell me that imp first. There. Hang on to the coin. It's your passport to whatever there is after for you. Oh, Leisha. Maybe someday I'll meet you. Leisha. She's gone. Oh, darling. I hope you've found peace at last.
Barry's business as a coin collector grew. And paramount among his collection of coins were all the ones of lowest value in the world. Sufficient of them to make change for any larger denomination. Sooner or later, he knew he would meet someone who really deserved the imp in the bottle. And sooner or later, he did. I'll be back shortly.
It makes good sense to use sense in the sun. Don't overdo and get overdone. Cause the sun can age and can hurt your skin. So cover up or come on in.
Constant overexposure to the sun could be harmful. Your American Cancer Society advises moderation or protective clothing or sunscreening lotions. Remember,
cover up or come on in.
I understand that a power-hungry dictator bought the imp in the bottle for one of Barry's near worthless coins. Fortunately, he never was able to use the money he amassed to buy the weaponry with which he planned to conquer a continent. He died rather suddenly of an obscure disease, undiagnosed. But it may have occurred to you that the lower the price of the imp, the sooner the owner seemed to depart this life. Our cast included William Redfield, Joan Loring, Ian Martin, Santos Ortega, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
Jekyll, are you in trouble?
Huh? What do you mean, trouble?
Well, this Hyde, does he have something on you? Is he blackmailing you?
That's a ridiculous thought.
Then what is it? How can you, Dr. Henry Jekyll, one of the most honorable and respected physicians in London, have any association whatever with a terrible person like this Hyde? Why have you made over your estate to him, especially when you are to marry Beatrice Lanyon? And why that stipulation in the event of your disappearance? Jekyll, I beg you, tell me what it means.
I cannot. I cannot.
But as your friend,
You are the friend you say you are. Do me the favor of never mentioning Edward Hyde again.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
We got garlic a couple Saturdays in a row. This is amazing. Oh, no. That's the tears again.
What?
Oh, flashback.
CBS News is next on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle.
Seattle. We love Seattle.
1974. That would be, let's see. Isn't that the year Nixon resigned? I think it is.
Could have been.
He was reelected in 72. I think 74 is when he resigned. Yes.
Yeah, he was done. That was quick.
It was over.
But there you go.
Me around anymore. I'm out of here.
So that's our final story on wishes. Boy, if I could have just one wish, I'd wish we could learn something from all of this. Parma House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
If you can buy it for a nickel, then buy it for a nickel. Boing! There you go.
There you go.
There you go. CW joins Fogsbane and GGSI paper in the chat. Hey, thanks for joining us live, folks. We got time here.
Hi, everybody.
We got time. There, our choices are A, tune in a baseball game. B, play some bonus material. Or C, pour a pot of coffee down Gar's throat and just
and let him go.
It's like letting the imp out of the bottle.
That would be like letting the imp out of the bottle. Absolutely. Yeah.
Dark Colombian roast. As his eyes bug out like Stan the Coffee Man.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was so disturbing.
That sound can only mean someone has joined us. Welcome to Eerie House Radio.
I didn't even know we were falling apart.
Oh,
Brady. Greetings and solicitations.
CW.
No, I'm crying.
Oh, God.
Folgers Black Silk, anyone? Pouring
oh, God.
Vanilla.
I drink the Folgers Black Silk.
Oh, my gosh.
It is. It's rocket fuel.
My
wife likes the... My wife likes the Folgers Country Blend. They call it. You can only get it up in a store called Mark's in our area.
And Tweaks Coffee is good. Tweaks Coffee is good.
I like Jason Sanborn. If that was good enough to sponsor Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, it's good enough for me.
Well, you know.
I thought the Chock Full of Nuts. Wasn't that an
that's
older
what I get,
brand,
Chock
or?
Full of Nuts.
That's an older
that's,
brand. And then Butternut Coffee. Karloff used to pimp Butternut Coffee.
Butternut. Where's your butternut?
Oh, yeah. What was that coffee that Mrs. the Goldbergs had? Was it Jason Sanborn or something? He said, so smooth, so wonderful. No acid. You'll love it. Have yourself a cup of this, et cetera, et cetera. Some coffee.
Where is
your Goldberg there?
Which
excellent
used to
Rube
be
Goldberg,
a noise on an advert. They had the percolator going.
Yes, that was just doing. Yep.
Yeah.
The percolator.
Maxwell House was also a sponsor of Burns and Allen radio show.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
I coffee. In the transition to television, that the sponsors kept it up. And then you had Spike Jonze with this big, huge smoke cigarette sign behind him. It was weird.
My hero.
Your hero.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind of the thing that done him in the end, though, Dale, you know?
It did, yeah. He was working with an air bottle.
Now, Ms. W, would you like to hear like a short radio clip or perhaps some music?
Ladies, I think. How about a short radio clip? I think that.
Ooh, a wheel of radio. You better have her step up and do that. Give it a spin.
Yeah,
Dale.
If you wouldn't mind, step up to the DS, if you will, and give the old wheel a spin.
Of course, I'll put on my fancy 1950s slingback shoes. Click, click, click. Here I go. There I go. And in my bouffant hairdo and in my gloves. And spin to win.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Last, I've got the house to myself. Now I can sit down at the piano and relax.
Please, excuse me, please. My name is Steinway. I came to scratch my name off the piano.
Eddie Cantor!
trouble, Jimmy. You know it's awfully nice to visit with you.
Yes, Eddie, it sure is good to see you again. If you was a girl, I'd kiss you.
If I was a girl, Jessler would have married me long ago. As far as I'm concerned, James Durante, you're the greatest in the game.
No, Eddie, you're the greatest in the game.
No, Jimmy, I insist you're the greatest in the game.
Please, Eddie, you're the greatest in the game.
Okay, you win, Jimmy. I am the greatest in the game.
I feel like the Dodgers. I was all right up to that last game.
Jimmy, you and I have been together a long, long time, and I sure am proud of you. You're keeping right up to date on the fashion.
What do you mean?
You're the only man I know who's wearing the new ankle-length nose.
It used to be only knee-length, but I let out the hem.
You let it out a little too much.
Reddy, you being here reminds me of old times, believe
me. Yes, Jimmy, we do go back a long time, don't we? Makes me think of the act I did with Gus Edwards years ago. I worked with a swell bunch of kids then. Walter Winchell, Irving Berlin, Harry Richmond, Georgie Price, and Al Jolson. And to think I made good. You know, Jimmy, I often wonder.
What?
Whatever became of those other kids?
Swallowed up by a cruel world. Eddie, it sure would be fun to relive those good old days when we were trying to get started in Coney Island.
Yeah.
Remember the Frankfurters at Feltman's and the good times we had at Perry's College Inn?
Yes, and remember when we were playing at Steuben's and after the show I took that little blonde girl out and we held hands in the park?
It was wonderful.
Then I put my arm around her?
Marvelous.
Then I kissed her for 3 hours?
Yeah, I remember. Wait a minute, what am I laughing at? That was my girl.
Coney Island, those were the days, Jimmy. I was a singing waiter at Kerry Walters, and you were...
Yes?
The guy with the big nose. James, I said to you, James, let's quit Coney Island. Let's shoot for the moon. Let's go up and see the great Sick Bell.
Fine. Maybe he'll give us a break.
That's right. How do you do, Mr. Ziegfeld? We're Cantor and Durante. I don't know you, and you don't know me.
Why did you have to go and spoil it?
Please give us a chance, Mr. Ziegfeld. All we want is a straight 52-week contract at $5,000 a week with special material, tailored costumes, no matinees, meals sent in, star dressing rooms on the ground floor.
I'll give you $10 a week and you dress in the alley.
We better take it. He's meeting us halfway. Please, Mr. Ziegfeld, we'll give you an idea of our act right now. Get over to the piano, Jimmy.
Let's go.
And then he'd roll, roll, roll. Way up the river, he would roll, roll, roll. A huggy giver, he would kiss her now and then. She would tell him when.
He'd fool around and fool around, and then they'd kiss again.
And then he'd roll, roll, roll. A little farther, he would row. Oh, 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 oh. Then he'd drop both his oars.
Take a few more on court.
And then he'd roll, roll, roll.
What do you think, Mr. Ziegfeld?
Well, I thought you were wonderful, Mr. Cantor. But being the showman I am, there's one thing I'd like to suggest.
And what's that?
Get rid of the guy with the big nose.
My nose isn't big. I just happen to have a very small head. That was many years ago. And, Eddie, I'll never forget when Ziegfeld said, get rid of the guy with the big nose and how you stuck up for me.
Yes, but Jimmy, while I was talking to Ziegfeld about you, why did you run out on me?
Eddie, I knew we went as far as we could go together, and I figured Ziggy wanted you, not me. And believe me, what a thrill I got when I saw you in the Follies of 1917. I'll never forget what a sensation you were when you came out in blackface and white gloves and sang. What was the name of that song, Eddie?
Oh, I know.
Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, I don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now.
Boy, what a hit you were that night. And little did you think that one day Warner Brothers would make your life story.
Yeah, they're working on it right now.
Too bad they didn't make it sooner, or they could have called it Life with Father.
Oh, that's no good, Jimmy. When you've been a father as long as I have, no life.
You had plenty of life when you appeared in the Follies of 1919. What was that big song hit you had then?
Oh, the boys were coming home from the war, and I sang, how you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris?
What a song!
How you gonna keep them away from Broadway, jazzing around, painting the town? How you gonna keep them away from harm? That's a mystery. Imagine Reuben when he meets his pa. He'll kiss his cheek and holler, ooh la la. How you gonna keep them down on the farm after they see Harry?
Eddie, that was a great number, Eddie. And you know something? As I sat in the balcony the night you opened in that show, I'm not ashamed to tell you I cried like a baby.
Did you, Jimmy?
Yes. There you were on that stage singing, and there I was, sitting in the balcony with so much talent.
Ah, Jimmy. But you couldn't hide that talent for long, because I remember shortly after you opened at the Club Durante with an act that took the town by storm. Clayton, Jackson, and Durante. You know, Jimmy, I came down with a big party that night, and as I walked into the club, there you were on the piano singing.
I know darn well I can do without Broadway, but can Broadway do without me? Herald Square, Times Square, Columbus Circle, 96. What happened? I must have passed my station. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Oh, Jimmy, Jimmy, what an act that was. You must have made a fortune at the Club Durante.
No, Eddie, not a penny. Everything we made went for new pianos.
Ah, but it was well worth it, James, because when you finished your act that night, Flo Ziegfeld, who was at my party, turned to me and said, who's that guy? And I answered him. I said, Mr. Ziegfeld, that's the guy with the big nose. And it wasn't long after that when Mr. Ziegfeld's new production, Showgirl, had it as star, Jimmy Durante.
He saw the error of his ways. But what a change of pace for Durante to come out singing a number like Liza, Liza, skies are gray. But if you smile on me, all the clouds will roll away. Liza, Liza, don't delay.
Oh, Durante, a crooner, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy, don't blow. I want to tell you something, kid. I listened to Crosby, I listened to Dick Hames, I listened to Sinatra. And you know something?
Yes.
I'm going to keep right on listening to them.
You're listening to me at a great disadvantage. You can hear me. But anyway, talking about songs, what do you figure is the biggest song you've had in show business, Eddie?
Well, Jimmy, in my humble opinion, I say it was Another Bride, Another Groom, Another Sunny Honeymoon, Another Season, Another Reason for Making Whoopee.
Already, I've often envied you, working in all those Ziegfeld shows with those gorgeous Follies girls.
Oh, those gorgeous Follies girls, Jimmy. Let me tell you something. It's like working in a candy store. After the first day, you never bother with the candy. But, oh, that first day. Oh. Ah, show business. It's been rather good to both of us, James. And in 40 years of show business, I think I found out why the people love the guy with the big nose. It's because the guy with the big nose has a heart to match. Yesterday, they told you you would not go far. That night, you open, and here you are.
Next day, on your dressing room, they hung a star. Let's go on with the show.
And on with the show here at Erie House Radio. We're back.
We are.
Wonderful to hear the old schnozola.
Yep, and Eddie Cantor, a guy we don't hear as much of as I think we should. I mean, he was such a mainstay on both on live stage and a few movies, but on radio and did television as well. One of the arms of the Colgate Comedy Hour, as they rotated around hosts four different hosts, one for each week. So it's you see, he's just kind of a I don't know why it was an early favorite of mine, because I got to hear him early on in some of the shows, and he was also had an eye for talent, as he's one that basically gave Diana Shore her big break. So.
Oh, see the USA in your Chevrolet?
Yeah, worked her way up to good old Chevy commercials. You know, it's funny. He actually used her against Fred Allen, because he was scheduled on at one point against Fred Allen. And what he did is he timed out when Fred Allen went to his first commercial. And when he went to his first commercial, people did what they kind of do now, which is they kind of change channels to see what else is on. Well, when they flipped over to any song during that time, you'd have Diana Shore singing, and people would stop, listen to her, and stay there for the rest of the show. Fred Allen got so irate, he yelled at his network executives and had them switch his night so Eddie Cantor couldn't steal his people.
Funny. Very good. Yeah, the remote control for the radio was the children. Junior, get up, turn.
Yeah.
The dial.
Yes.
That was our early TV remotes too, and I was one of those remotes, yeah.
Yep, I was too. Yes, sir. You had to move fast too, boy.
I remember the first wired remote we had. Boy, that was was that technology.
Yeah.
Technology.
And lots of it. Hey, in a mere that's 3 minutes, you'll be hopefully watching Horrible Horror starring Guy the Ghoul.
He must be off applying his latest latex layer or something. But
could be.
Yeah.
His line is still open, but
it is.
He's non-responsive,
nope,
ladies and gentlemen.
Nope,
we're
nope.
Sorry.
I don't even hear keyboard tapping. So
man, he's still non-responsive as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, God.
Horrible. That's just horrible.
Quick, get the espresso, the triple espresso.
No. We'll be doomed.
Yeah, that's a lot to expect from some kind of Frenchman. I don't know.
don't tempt him.
He didn't pick up on it.
Silence, you ninny!
Oh, the pain.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my. You know what? The more clips you add, the more scrolling you have to do, Dale.
Yeah, I tell you. It's a good thing nobody's
mentioning. Hey, what do we got going on next week on Erie House?
Oh, good gosh. It's time for another drive-in already? Why, sure it is.
It is.
Lux Radio Theater, double feature. It's Dashiell Hammett time again. That's right. The Maltese Falcon on Friday night and After the Thin Man on Saturday night.
Woohoo!
Because we're kind of hammering it up.
There you are.
And then after that, I have no idea. So.
Oh, okay. Time to send the schedule along. Then, huh?
I'll be finding out soon.
I'll
bet it'll be good radio.
After that, we got a hairy situation coming up. That's what we do.
Oh no! Swarthy
yep.
Radio. Coming your way in just 2 weekends. Thanks again, folks. We'll see you next week, Friday at 8:30 with the Maltese Falcon. Or is that the Maltese Dippy? I don't know.
No, Falcon.
Nope.
It's the Black Boy.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him, and her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone. Don't come alone.
Thank you, Vincent.
Ooh, good timing.
Yeah, not bad.
Good timing.
Not bad. good show.
So did you get what you were wishing for this weekend, CW?
I can say yes, and I can say no. Got part of my homework done. I'm back in the hallowed halls of academia, the halls of Ivy.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, well, that's one thing, you know. Yes, but anyway, yeah, so got
so
half
you're
of...
Working,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're working to get more edumacated, are you?
Yeah, but I'm going to get more edumacated, just like a little Ebner who got all the way up to the third grade.
Somehow, I think you got a little further than that.
It could be more. It could be worse. It could be like me. Me not Mart.
Or I'll be like Jethro with that sixth grade education.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he could be a brain surgeon. Come on. I mean, it's doable. It's feasible.
He could be anything he wants with Uncle Jed's money.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so I wish for an Uncle Jed, and unfortunately didn't happen. Still working on it.
Right.
So, yeah, because out there, you need one of them cement ponds, so you need Uncle Jed.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, or you have to start shooting at some food, and maybe something will come bubbling up for you.
You mean that black gold, that Texas tea?
Texas tea. Yeah, you got it. You got
it.
Yep.
So you got your homework done, so you were able to tune in tonight. That's great. I'm glad.
Yes, that was one, but now I have another. Of course, it's never ending. It's like an unlimited waterfall for 6 weeks more, and then we start another semester. Ooh, yay!
And it begins all over again.
Again. It's like a Twilight Zone episode. You're walking.
Seems like a lot of work to me.
You're walking into a land called homework. Is there really a way out? Or is it really in the Twilight Zone? I wish I could channel the spirit of Rod Serling. He could write anything.
He could. I'm getting something on my feed on their Facebook. He's from, I think his daughter has some kind of a fan page up for him in honor of him, and it's intriguing. It's intriguing.
Hmm.
And little quotes that he made on commentary on society and societal things that were going on at the time that are really kind of, some of them are relevant now.
Oh, yeah.
Probably more relevant now than they were then.
Even more so. I mean, no, we don't duck and cover, but at the same time,
you might want to.
Want to, yeah.
Why am I laughing? It's not funny. But that's my problem. I find everything funny sooner or later.
Yeah, I guess so.
Where's the most inappropriate place you've ever laughed?
The most inappropriate place I've ever laughed? Probably at work, at one of the places I used to work at. That's probably why I don't work there anymore. But I didn't regret it because I thought they were being silly, and let me put it this way, it was better to laugh maniacally so, sarcastically
yes.
so, than to use a lot of interesting 3 and 4 or 5 letter words.
Yes, yes, I agree. Better to get inside their head and twist it around and tweak it a little bit, in lieu of provoking potential litigious or otherwise legal issues. Never fun.
Semantics. I should take a course in semantics. Better ways to insult people.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
It's best when they don't even get it and it flies over their head.
Yes. Why, you corporeal form of Homo sapien.
That reminds me of a Finn McGee and Molly episode when he and Doc Gamble were going at it, and then all of a sudden Fibber just stops, and he's, what happened? Well, he says, sometimes I wish I'd gone farther in school. Sometimes I don't know whether to thank somebody or sock him in the nose.
That's actually rather profound.
It is quite rather profound. You should put that on a t-shirt, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, what? Yeah, that could work. That could work.
I would wear that shirt.
And one of the projects for a class, strangely enough, they were asking us to comment on, what do you think about swear words? Well, I told them just that. That was one of the projects that got the most response.
I can imagine.
But I dug into some old movies and found that the F-bomb was thrown down in pre-code 1930-something movie called Design for Living. It's with Mir. Yep, pre-codes are great.
They are. Because they're very frank about what was going on in the world.
Yeah. I mean, they were just saying what they could. And, you know, before everyone got so haze-coded.
I watched one and I'm like, oh my god, there were these wide open references to drug use and stuff, and some quite racy comments as well.
Yes, and I can't remember the movie, but lo and behold, there was one movie where they went off to, it was a Betty Davis vehicle, and they went off to Cuba, and one of the women that was dancing was, hold on, she was showing her navel.
Navel.
Oh
my god.
Yeah, well, you couldn't even. Well, all those racy outfits that they had on the original Star Trek that were here and there and everywhere.
Yes.
No navel was ever showing. Barbara Eden couldn't show her navel. She could show.
Yes,
it just
I recall that was a thing too.
And neither could Marianne. You know, on Gilligan's Island.
That's right. Yep, she
so
just
short,
didn't wear high pants, folks. There was a reason for that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like old people pants.
Yep. So anyway, the F-bomb was thrown down in the 1930s in a pre-code movie. It was quickly done, but it slipped in there.
Did it? Oh, you know what? I might have done some research on pre-code films, and I might have seen that. Did it involve, like, hailing a cab or something like that?
Nope, not that one. This was a movie with Miriam Hopkins, Gary Cooper, Frederick March.
Oh, my goodness.
Frederick called
March?
Design for Living. Yes, Frederick. Yes. Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He was in there. Gary Cooper and Miriam Hopkins. And they had a little bit of a kind of a gentleman's agreement menage a trois. But to quote her character, unfortunately, I'm no gentleman.
I'll say. And that's a compliment. I'm no gentleman.
And currently it's still free. It's currently still free. I don't know how long. Free on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows how long anything's going to be. Whatever. That's another conversation, but fun times. It's funny how what you would wish for when you're young, like very young as a kid and then as a young adult, And then when you get ancient like me, your wishes become, I don't know, for me they become far more simple.
Yeah,
like,
no,
please,
just
hope, like please, not, no pain today. That would be great.
Yeah, or, you know, not too many nature calls, and you know, and then
yeah,
night,
that
you know?
That kind of a thing.
And,
yeah,
you know,
because yeah.
You know, it used to be when I was younger, you know, nature would call every once in a while. Now, nature has me on speed dial.
Speed dial, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I still wish for a TARDIS. Yeah, a TARDIS. Time a TARDIS, not a starship, but a TARDIS. I can go back and forth here and there. I can, you know, go back and have more time to do my homework, or say, well, I got it done, or go back here and go back there, or if it's a historical event, I can just
go back and get some old shows. Call
it. I hear those things are a lot bigger than they look. Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. How do we know you're not calling from the future now? How do we know?
The winning lotto tickets for... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. You're my best friend ever. You're my best friend ever. What are those numbers again?
I'm sorry. Is this breaking up? Hello? The connection is getting...
Hey,
low.
What happened?
We're breaking up.
Hey, I think we lost you, Dave. Damn it. Damn you, Blog Talk. Not crying again.
Oh, yes.
Not crying again. I already dumped the Sappy's Lost in Space music.
Did you dump it already? Wow.
Yeah, I dumped it. I figured I milked that to death. If I had to play it again, it would be work, and you know how I feel about work.
Work?
Yeah, that's
what an unpleasant word.
Yes.
Indeed, that's a four-letter word.
Yes. And Dave and I both do have delicate backs today, so there.
We do. You do. I took my delicate back did the yard with it today. So
did I.
That was fun. Yeah.
So did I. I made work with a shovel, and hopefully I didn't do anything horrible to myself.
Well, does that mean if you did work with a shovel, one of your neighbors is now missing?
Could be.
Now.
Well, you know what to do. Just plant. Oh, dear. Plant those endangered species right on top of there, and they can't legally dig there.
What was that? Broke up again. Damn. Damn you, Blog Talk.
Yeah, something like that.
That's good. Yeah, Robert Louis Stevenson did do a good horror, Dave.
He did, I know because there were other a story here and there that had been adapted from his. It never really added it up till this weekend that I just thought that Jekyll and Hyde was an outlier, but it wasn't.
No, it's good stuff.
It's just like, when people look at my stuff and they think that's all I do. But then when you think of so many of those radio plays that I produce and most, about 20 of them that I wrote, that was a dark side of things going on.
The dark side of Dave. Oh, my gosh.
The dark side of Dave, uh-oh. Yes. That's why they were so much harder to do than the silly stuff.
Horror is good for you.
Well, they say dying is easy, comedy is hard, but...
I think it is. I think it's hard to be consistently funny because times change, you know what I mean? And you have to take different approaches at times.
That's true. I mean, what was funny 5 years ago, you wouldn't dare do now, so you just have to... freshen it up. And even you always had to freshen things up anyway.
Well, yeah, if it gets hot and you get sweaty, you gotta freshen up. Jeez. But
yeah, of course.
Something wrong with me.
Oh dear.
You just figured that out?
Oh, no, just the rumors caught up to me. There's a rumor about Dale. He's lost his mind. But I haven't had much coffee, only a little. And I did have black soap, by the way. I didn't even know anybody else knew about this stuff.
Yeah, I've seen it on the shelves, and I'm not being a coffee drinker, but it's in the aisle where coffee and tea are sold. I just look, it's a black silk. I mean, good night. I mean, how much caffeine is wafting its way through this cacophony of Arabica beans and Colombian blend and whatnot?
It's potent stuff, let me tell you. When I was young, I would have had to scrape me off the ceiling. But now that I'm old and beat up, it's like, yeah, it keeps me awake.
Well, it's better than those awful energy drinks. I took a sniff of a Red Bull, and I'm sorry, Red Bull, if you're listening somehow, but it may give you wings, but it also makes your nose want to run and hide.
Yeah. Gives you wings. Gives you nausea.
Yeah, that's kind of their slogan. Yeah. Wings to the bathroom. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
they also got sued for that.
For the wings?
Yep.
Yes, they were actually sued for saying Red Bull, it gives you wings. It has to be rephrased now, but yeah, it does not give you wings. And apparently, I guess somebody got a lawsuit or class
action.
Would
they jump off the roof? It didn't give me wings. Oh my God.
I'm surprised someone didn't sue Chock Full of Nuts. There are no nuts in here. It's just ground coffee.
Red Bull did not give her wings. I'm sorry. Gee, it worked in the cartoon. What the hell?
It did.
Yeah. Okay, next, Sue. Yeah. Let's see. We need to sue the Acme Company for all those anvils and safes.
Yes.
They do hurt, yeah.
Yeah, in spite of what you may have seen with a certain coyote, anvils hurt.
It can't, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And falling off a cliff, you know, come on. A time to sell a sue Looney Tunes, because, you know, you can't fall off a cliff and then be in the next scene. Doesn't work that way.
No, no. No, Benny,
I could have sworn you could. I saw it on TV.
I feel lied to now. I think I may have to consult the Moose and Elk law firm or something, you know? I feel...
Acme attorneys.
No, we did that moose and elk instead of, we have elk in this area, but Dale, we did that moose and elk.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Commercial, yeah. And CW, she has much better recall than we do. If I hadn't written it, I wouldn't have remembered it.
Well, you had me stumped for a minute. Nice catch. Well played, Ms. W.
Well played. You have to say it. Well played.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Not quite quick as cricket, but there you are. We still have it there.
Yeah.
Marcus the Queensberry rules and all that.
Oh, my.
I'll tell
you. Oh, and by the way, yeah, it was Sanka coffee that Mrs. Goldberg said. Sanka, smooth and wonderful.
Okay. Sanka.
Sanka coffee, so smooth, so wonderful. No caffeine to make you all nervous. So go and have a cup.
That's like alcohol-free. But at that point, that's like alcohol-free beer. Why? Why? Why have this product? I don't understand.
All the beer with none of the buzz. Yeah. Yeah. What good is that? You know?
And caffeine-free coffee. It's just, why? It's self-defeating.
Well, I will tell you, for some people, I have a volunteer, because she had a heart condition and a heart attack, she can no longer have caffeine. So therefore, you know, but she still likes her coffee, so she has decaffeinated coffee. So for those individuals, you may have it. The rest of you, there's no need for that. Well, oh, wait a second. Gar should have decaffeinated coffee.
Oh, yeah. Or none at all.
Intravenously, perhaps?
I keep saying we need to have an intervention show. Now, Gar,
yep.
We had a little meeting.
Yeah, but with my back, I don't know if I can take that many steps right now.
We love you, but this has got to stop. The coffee's becoming a problem.
Step away from the Java. Step away from the Java.
No.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, poor Gar. He's probably up and running right now.
He should be, yep.
Yep.
On Twitch TV.
How about you, Dave? Any wishes? I didn't hear any wishes from Dave.
Yeah, definitely.
What wish do I have today? Wish for some ice cream, but they don't have any ice cream, so I guess that's it.
Oh, God, now I got to have ice
cream. You know what's really sad? Is that when you only have a wish as lowly as ice cream and you still can't get that fulfilled, you know?
Why would you bring this up to a weak-kneed diabetic? I want ice cream, damn it.
Well, you can have your sugar-free ice cream.
I have no sugar. I don't think there's such a thing. If there is sugar-free, it's probably wretched. But
yeah, no sugar. You're right. It's no sugar.
Yeah.
Added. Yeah.
And I do. I do imbibe or indulge. I don't know. What do you do with a ice cream besides dive in it? Yeah. I use the no sugar added ice cream from time to time.
Oh, yeah, it's out there. If there's a buck to be made, somebody will invent it.
Yep. I got a question for you guys now, and it's all coming out all over the place. They've had these, they have regular pop. Then they had the diet pop, which has no calories.
Oh,
then they have this no sugar added pop. Now, if it's sugar added, it can't be a diet pop. So what the heck is the difference?
Okay, I have a similar complaint.
It's not a complaint. It's something I don't understand. Isn't it the same thing? CW,
no.
you're going back to college. You helped to decipher this.
Ah, yes. Well, let's see. How shall we put this? If it is sugar-free and then they're saying no sugar added, you're basically saying you're eating chicken, you're eating poultry. It's the same thing. It's just a marketing tool.
It's the same thing, right? No sugar added. No sugar is the same as the diet, which has no calories.
Well, here's what's bothering me, because they're getting rid of diet, or at least around me, or maybe it's a problem with the pandemic, because there have been still shipping issues, at least out in zip code EIEIO. But what I've noticed is they're getting rid of diet altogether. Now I'm seeing zero popping up all over the place. Zero.
Right, zero sugar, I guess.
Yes. Case in point, I love Sunkist Orange. Diet, zero, tastes different. And they did that to me, and I'm hurt. I am so hurt.
Aww.
So it does taste different to you.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Okay.
Does it taste different to you because you see the label it's different, or it actually does taste different to you?
It actually does. That's a great question and a fair question. That's a great question and a fair question. It is the taste that is different. I am certain of it.
Okay.
I would subject myself to intense scrutiny and testing. That is how sure I am that there is a difference, a discernible difference.
Also, they may still make it. They just don't have it in your market. Markets change from time to time.
That's what I'm hoping. That comes back. Because the other thing that they're not stocking in my area is Snyder's pretzels. Snyder's of Berlin? Yeah, of Berlin. Not of, what is it, Snyder's of Idaho or something? I don't know.
Hanover? Hanover.
Oh, no, Snyder's of Berlin makes the chips. Snyder's of Hanover makes the awesome pretzels. But they got to be the home style, and they're not stocking hardly any of the Snyder's of Hanover anymore by me.
It's probably a supply issue.
That's what I think it is. I think the supply lines are still messed up.
Which I find surprising because of all the things that never were lacking in the store, junk food was always there.
Yeah. I want my junk food. The thing that keeps me sick. That's wrong. There's something wrong with me. Too many things to list.
Perhaps you should do two weeks where you're drawing a blank on what show, perhaps something to do with the psychiatrist mind or the mind of the minds that need psychiatry, you know. Just lie down on the couch here and tell us, why are you having these strange little dreams of sun-kissed versus sun-kissed zero versus sun-kissed diet? Hmm? Yes, we're just writing down notes here. Don't pay any attention to those straight jackets over in the corner. They're just there for ambiance.
I just want my orange back. My diet orange. My needs are simple. Help me. Oh, that's funny.
Help me. Oh, yeah, the fly. Hello.
Help me. Felipe.
And with that, I must be away before that British lady kicks us out.
She will.
No, that's true. And we will need to all tune in on Twitch TV and check out Gar. And also, in the meantime, CW, you know what needs to be done before we leave.
By all means, Mr. Durante, would you give us a tune if you would be so kind?
Good night. It's time to say goodnight. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night, folks, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
And now, until next time, till we meet again in the same place, I remain as always, obediently yours.